listeners, I wanted to let you know that I'm teaching a free budgeting class at Bold and Badass Fitness in Southeast Portland on August 5th from 3 to 5 p.m. We'll cover putting together a budget on variable income and figuring out where your values and your money align. To sign up for this free class, you can go to ohmydollar.com/boldandbadass. There's limited spots, so sign up now.
Welcome to Oh My Dollar, a personal finance show with a dash of glitter. Dealing with money can be scary and stressful. Here we give practical, friendly advice about money that helps you tackle the financial overwhelm. Here's your host, Lillian Kerbick.
And that was Will Romy. let's talk about money. This week, I want to talk about the concept that you can buy anything you want. You just can't buy everything you want. This probably has to do a lot with the fact that I made the decision to spend a month traveling from Dublin to Shanghai by train in September, which I think I've mentioned before. And I'm probably not going to get a lot of paying work during that month. And so it's essentially the longest time off work I've ever taken. And train tickets across two continents are kind of expensive.
How long is the trip all in all?
It's almost exactly 30 days. So depending on whether or not you count the one day that I'm spending in Boston between flights. I have about a 12-hour layover in Boston that I'm going to go into town. But, you know, I'm self-employed, so I have no monetary guarantees when I come back. I don't have any PTO. So this trip is kind of a big financial risk in a lot of ways, despite the fact that, you know, I've paid for it all in cash and I have the money in the bank to do it. And it'll be fine, as I keep reassuring myself. But it's a splurge. Like, this is a lifelong dream that I've had. And it's a really big deal. And I've also had some offers of paying work that I haven't been able to take because I'm like, well, I'm not going to have phone or internet for almost a month. So probably you don't want to hire me.
Huh. Yeah, yeah. And I guess you have that lost income coming from a trip.
Yeah. And even, you know, like starting jobs in August that I wouldn't be able to complete because I have to leave August 29th. So, yeah, I mean, it's both been a hit to income and a hit to my savings because I'm spending the savings on the trip. And so it's a really big splurge. So I've been thinking a lot about kind of this concept of unconventionally spending money on big things. And, you know, conventional spending has you spending money all the time. It has you spending nearly everything you make, if not more. It's quite common to live above your means.
Right. Income equal or less than your total expenditures.
Yeah. And, you know, financing cars, houses, cell phones, washing machines, even toasters.
Boats.
You can finance a $20 toaster now. you know, conventionally, Americans are drowning in payments because they're taught that everything you want, you should have, and you can have it now, as long as you're willing to pay some interest on it. And I don't live that way. I hope for a lot of listeners that they can kind of get past the point where they're living that way. And normal isn't what I want, but I still have things that I want to spend money on that are really big, scary things. And conventional spending has you kind of nickel and diming all of these big these purchases over time, even this toaster and the cell phone. But it tells you that you don't have the money to do international travel. You know, most Americans don't have a passport. And so commonly when I talk about, you know, my travels or I talk about, you know, I have a custom bike that was very expensive and people go, oh, I wish I could afford that. And you can afford it. You most likely can afford it. But you probably can't afford some of the other things you're buying. And I kind of just want to talk today about splurges and the concept of deciding if you want to afford your loftiest dreams, you're going to have to be a little weird.
Right. Weird and plan for them.
Yeah. You have to plan and you have to make choices. And that's the part that I really struggle with, right? Is that really part of making these splurges is making everyday choices to say, no, I'm going to go without that because later that money instead is going to go to this thing I want more. And you have to really decide that you want that more.
Yeah, well, that almost sounds like a different kind of splurge, because I think of splurge as being a spur of the moment. You know, you're in a store and opt to buy the more expensive version of something or you know, impulse, and I guess more of an impulse buy, which doesn't sound like what you're describing.
Yeah, I guess the way I define a splurge is something that you don't need to live. Like, it's not a necessity. and that it costs more than a single paycheck. So it's something that you have to plan for. It doesn't necessarily need to be an object. It could be unpaid parental leave or taking an unpaid sabbatical from work. But, you know, it's something that is a significant amount of money to you. And it, that could be that, hey, I didn't buy the cheapo headphones and instead I bought $350 headphones. And, you know, a splurge could be spur of the moment. But generally, I think about it as something that you made an intentional decision to buy something that is more expensive than the bare minimum you would have needed to buy to continue to exist. And people splurge all the time and don't realize it. Right? a lot of people have grocery shopping is one of these big ones where people don't realize that, you know, they're throwing away their paycheck by splurging, by not making decisions around their money that are optimizing, or, you know, they kind of mindlessly, like, the worst for me is when I go to the grocery store hungry.
Always eat before you go to the grocery store.
It's so dangerous because I suddenly walk out and I've got a cart full of, like, you know, really fancy crackers and, like, you know, expensive coffee drinks in solo bottles.
And dips and sauces.
Yeah, and nothing that actually equals like a meal plan for the week.
Different types of onions.
And I've spent like a week's grocery budget and I don't actually really have anything to show for it other than like, yeah, I went to Grocery Outlet, which, you know, as far as places to splurge on groceries is a little better because it's discount. But I went there after the gym when it was like 90 degrees outside yesterday and I was hungry. Alone, it was probably one of the most dangerous things. And this is a great example of like when you are in your right mind and you're cool and you're calm, you realize these trade-offs you're making. But so often spending money is emotional, especially these really small things that you get as a treat for yourself, right? And you justify treats
and
all the time,
and you need it.
Yeah. I had a hard day at work, therefore I deserve this $14 cocktail, and that's fine. You can make that choice, but you. When you zoom out to that 10,000 foot level, you realize that, you know, a cocktail every other day is really costing you that trip to Paris that you said that you've wanted to do since you were 10 years old. So, I mean, once again, this is where the budget comes in, right?
Right. Yeah. But, I mean, we always described it as a way of, you always describe budgeting as a way of figuring out where your values and your spending habits are. And that seems like a good way to, you know, put yourself first.
Yeah. One thing that I love to do exercises around this because I think it's really values sounds really nebulous, right? And it seems really hard. And everybody's like, well, I value hard work and family. And then, you know, they kind of zoom out and they realize they've forgotten about a bunch of things like creativity or something like that. Or it just feels very hippy dippy. And they're like, I'm here to talk about the numbers. And so I like to do some exercises. And one of those which I think I got from Paula Pant from affordanything.com, who I think got it from J.D. Roth from Get Rich Slowly. but it's to imagine that you're financially secure and that you have enough money to support yourself, your family, and your dreams. But you need to continue working, but it's fulfilling work with reasonable hours. What would you do? How would you spend your days? And that's actually a really hard question for a lot of people to answer for themselves.
Right, because it's easy for work to sort of be the default activity or what you do rather than, you know, lying around the house.
Well, and I, you know, I'm a Midwesterner. I have been imbued with the idea that your work is your highest purpose in life. And I still believe that.
Puritanical values.
Yeah. No, you know, that Protestant work ethic is pretty deeply embedded into us in the Midwest. But when you kind of scroll out, and I'm not saying like you should be hedonistic and chase all of your pleasures and you go, okay, well, if, you know, if everything was perfect, then I would spend all day drinking $12, you know, cups of espresso and laying around in the sun. And in reality, most humans are not super well built for that. And most people wouldn't want to engage in that kind of leisure all day.
Not all the time.
Yeah, they would probably bore with it. But let's say that something like that is your answer. What does that tell you about your values, right? Like, it might tell you that your values have a lot to do with making sure that you've got a lot of time to think. And, you know, it's really important to you to have a slow pace. And part of what could happen in your budget is you realize like, hey, I want to make a little more money per hour because I don't want to have to work as many hours. Or maybe it's actually more important. It's less important to me to make really great money like I am making now if I could work half as much, many hours.
Right. Have more time to do the things you want to do.
Yeah.
Or like trips, like you were saying.
Or trips.
More time with your family or more time lying around the house.
So I feel like we've ended up talking a lot about time, but there's totally splurges that are just legitimately things that you spend a lot of money on that are total consumer goods and are like awesome to put in the budget because that feeling of saving up for something and buying it, right? Like so many of us had this when we were like 10 or 12 years old.
Yeah, get the cool Star Wars Lego sets.
Yeah, and if you managed to not spend all your allowance on candy and you actually saved it, then suddenly you could get, you know, the thing you really wanted, that Star Wars
the
figurine.
AT Walker.
So is that your biggest splurge ever?
No, I actually never had a Star Wars AT-AT walker. I think my little brother did.
I think my biggest splurge pretty much of my life was my custom bicycle. And I saved for it for like 4 years. And then I also, part of it was a graduation present. It took me... let's say 8 years to graduate college.
That helps you save up for longer.
I was an on and off college attendee. So it was a really big deal to my family when I finally managed to graduate. And I had managed to graduate debt free thanks to a lot of scholarships and the Pell Grant and everything. And I've never owned a car. And I have rheumatoid arthritis and you can't tell this on the radio, but I'm 4'11". So not the easiest to find a bike for me on the shelf.
Yes, I emphasize as someone on the opposite end of 4'11".
Every day, I am so happy that I have that bike. I have never once regretted it.
It's an identifiable bike. I can always tell when you're in the building.
Yeah. Okay, so I said splurges, but you didn't say what your big splurge was.
Oh... hypothetically or actually?
What is the thing you're thinking about?
I always thought a cargo cruise across the Pacific would be cool.
Cargo?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm not trying to spend several weeks on a boat with a bunch of people hanging out. I don't know. I was like the more solo boat expeditions. The open ocean's cool.
So what would this take? To do this?
Well, the last time I looked at prices, it was about $1,200 for about 2 weeks slowly going across the Pacific on a cargo ship, which is, you know, cheaper than a regular cruise would be. And not even that incomparable with plane tickets.
Yeah, it's like pretty close to a peak season plane ticket to Europe.
Slower.
Yeah, you've got to feed yourself for a couple weeks as well on board, right?
Yeah. Or I think you can also be in the ship galley, but they have a poor reputation.
How do you get a spot on a cargo?
There's just sites you can book on. I don't know. I was looking into it a while back. You can just book a cabin. No real entertainment, but I don't know. It seemed like a good way to get some, you know, some big projects done.
This sounds very similar to my train trip, actually.
I know. Which is why it's also sort of a boring splurge. It's just not a boring splurge. Driving across the ocean.
There's literally nothing boring about this splurge. So do you want to do this?
Yeah. Oh, no. I totally do. I don't have a time in mind, per se. But yeah, and much like yours, I think the challenge would be finding the time to take off work and finding the money to book the passage and be, you know, in relatively okay financial straits upon return.
Yeah. Do you get PTO in any of your many jobs?
No.
Well, let's just, for the listeners, let's think about what it's going to take for you to be able to make the splurge.
All right. So let's say this cargo cruise is looking like it's about $1,200. And granted, that's one way to Japan.
Okay. Oh, you're going to Japan. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Straight across the Pacific.
So Japan is pretty expensive once you're there. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming you're not going to just go there and then immediately turn around and come home.
I don't know. Get stabbed on a dock somewhere. <Let's>...
Ooh. So where do you land? You land in Tokyo?
Yep.
Okay.
Land in Tokyo, so, leaves out of Seattle.
Let's say Tokyo. Tokyo is kind of pricey, but I priced this out for a trip that I was going to do a couple years ago. That I was booked to do, and then an earthquake happened the day I was set to leave for Tokyo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's about $50 a day if you're doing budget travel. in Japan. Like, it's pretty pricey.
Okay.
Japan is expensive. And that's like budget travel, like, you know, hostel bed level.
Yep.
Not like, you know, not staying in a hotel, obviously.
Right. Oh, well, that adds up quickly.
Yeah. And, you know, it's somewhat challenging to like couch surf in Japan because everybody
especially when you're 6'7".
Yeah. And everybody lives in very tiny houses. So 1200. And then let's say you take a week and a half.
There, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A week and a half. So a week and a half would be
$450.
Okay.
Let's say it's an even 500 for math.
Okay.
Sake.
So $1,700. And then you want to have enough that you can kind of replace lost income. So if you take a couple weeks off from work, so you're going to take 3 weeks off from work,
mm-hmm.
and then let's give you a week buffer. So
yeah,
you need
yeah,
to replace like a month's worth of income plus the trip expenses. So it sounds like altogether this is probably $3,500.
Yeah. That's what my numbers are coming up to.
Okay.
So if I started working on that for, let's say, next year.
So if you started working on it for next year, you need to save around $300 a month to get there.
Which comes to about $10 a day.
$10 a day. Do you think you could do that?
$10 a day would be doable. Well,
it's a little bit of a stretch for for most folks.
$10 a day is a good chunk out of a budget, but that is a small enough, specific enough number that I think in a setting where that was something that I really wanted to do, I could, you know, look at that old fashioned on a cocktail menu and go, no, I'm going to go to Japan slowly.
I like how it's an old fashioned of all things before you get on a ship.
I had a $10 old fashioned last night.
Oh, it's pertinent. But say you want to do this in 2 years, right? So say you want to do it like for your 30th birthday mm-hmm. or something, then it would be like $145. So that's $5 a day. That seems
even more doable.
Yeah, it seems pretty doable.
I do that in 4 years, and suddenly it's $2.50 a day.
And this is one of those things where if you're looking out as far as 2 years, if you get any sort of windfall, you can put half of that windfall towards this goal,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is one of the things that I've done with the Trans-Siberian trip, is that it was a goal for a really long time, and it just kind of sat in my budget, and it was there, and it stared at me. But I didn't necessarily always put money aside for it. But then when I had a windfall, it was kind of in my, I like to call it my wish farm, mm-hmm, in my budget, mm-hmm. where it's just kind of looking at me and it's going, hey, do you want to prioritize me now?
Right. No, that makes sense.
And so, you know, if you got a tax return back, or you got, you know, a gig that paid you a lot of money over a weekend or something like that, that's one of those examples of like, hey, you can knock out $500. That's 2 months worth of... 2 months, or if you're doing this in 2 years, it's 5 months, mm-hmm. essentially, worth of contributions to this that you could knock out in one go.
Yeah, well, and that's something that's nice about making those specific goal splurges, is being able to work on that in the long term rather than just have it be something you could never afford.
Yeah. No,
out of pocket.
And I know a lot of people who tell me that they can't afford splurges that are on a way lower level than this. And I know they can, right? Mm-hmm. They're making decent money. They don't have any kids. You know, they're making in the 50s or the 60s. And
right, it just takes some planning.
Yeah. And you know, they tell me they can't afford $300 headphones when they really want them. And I'm like, you can if you want. You just have to not buy some other things, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's all about some trade-offs. I would love to hear about your splurges. And nobody tell me that their splurges are groceries, because that's essential and you need it.
Unless you're getting some foolish tasty cheeses or something.
Yeah. Okay. Or tell me about your $20 cheeses that you get. So please write in to podcast@ohmydollar.com and let us know what your splurges are. That wraps our show for today. Our producer is Will Romey, and our intro music is by Aaron Parecki, and I'm Lillian Kerr-Bake, your personal finance educator and host. Thanks for listening. Until next time, remember to manage your money so it doesn't manage you.